Edge of History episode 4, Charlotte, may be over, but we are just getting started here on Poetry Recaps. My name is Marissa Garza, and I have a clue for you about who is joining us on the podcast today. Are you ready? I spent a lot of time on this, so better be to it. A mythic community hosts a gilded after party. Who could it be? Who could be connected to the mythic community that hosts a gilded after party? The one and only Jessica Sterling. Jess, how are you?
I'm here. I brought cupcakes that certainly aren't poisoned.
Oh, thank you.
Really excited to talk about this episode. We get the one and the only Riley this episode. Justin Bartha sounds. And you know what? I will say he didn't disappoint in how little he contributed to everything. And so it made me very happy to have him here doing nothing, getting into trouble, like almost killing people. Hey, it was great.
He hosts a podcast, okay?
He does. He's like
it's not that he does nothing.
I'm going on to streaming.
Which is like for the rest of the phase.
Yeah. Oh, so funny. So again, all of the credit, Justin Bartha has the worst quotes from this episode, and I enjoyed every second of him talking.
Yeah, so. He really delivers, you know. Mm-hmm. He knew what we were gonna get, and he brought his cupcakes.
He was good. Yeah.
Well, before we jump in to the heart of the episode, I do just want to give some reminders and some housekeeping. We are in episode 4. This is our halfway point here on National Treasure Edge of History. If you are looking to catch up, you can find all of the rest of the episodes in our very own feed. All you have to do is search National Treasure. I'm assuming just National Treasure Poetry Recaps is going to do it for you. You probably don't have to do National Treasure.
No treasure hunting for the podcast.
So I think we'll get you covered there. And then we'll be coming to you for 4 more episodes after this one. So that covers that. And I guess we could get right into it. Why hold back, right? When we have such a good episode with Riley here. So, okay. The episode starts off. Jess is still stumped by this clue. She decides to... I mean, I did a lot of studying in my day, but I have never created a ring of books. Like, she
was I don't know how this is helpful, but maybe she really likes circles.
How her brain works. I don't know.
I mean, she does have like a magical brain. So maybe this is how it works. But I was just like, okay, I loved the two women. We have Jess and Tasha, like, oh, you know, the door gets knocked on. It's a strange man. Yes. You don't trust him. Big thumbs up to saying, leave it at the door, you know, or even just pretending you're not home. The thing that got me is they like barely wait 2 seconds until he leaves. And then they grab the cupcakes and immediately are like, oh, these can't possibly be poisoned. Let me eat one immediately. And I'm like, you don't even know these. I would first text Ethan and be like, hey, did you send us cupcakes?
Yes, confirm.
What is this?
This Ethan is the same Ethan. Anyone could be Ethan, especially when you're dealing with Billy the hacker spy lady.
Exactly. So very disappointed in this. And not nearly as disappointed, though, as Ethan, who's just like, oh, all I got was a yum emoji.
This really bothered me because it's like, what do you want? Like, what are you expecting? And then also he's like, well, fine, I'm going to go golfing with Nina.
Good for you. You showed she's your girlfriend. Stupid Ethan.
I know.
If you can't tell, I'm really not here for the triangle situation. Couldn't care less about this love triangle. Doesn't make any sense to me. Ethan has, this is a tale as old as time where guy friend of girl is jealous because girl is hanging out with new guy, even though he already has a girlfriend. I'm like, Ethan, you know what? You had your opportunity and you didn't take it.
100%.
This is it.
Yeah. Like you got, this is, you got to watch this happen or make your move. Like,
exactly.
This is what you got to do.
Yeah. So now he golfs with Nina, apparently.
I mean, apparently. Oren's even like, you golf? Well, it's with Nina. Oh, well, okay then.
Oh, okay. In that case.
Tasha, you know, thinks that, so they're like trying to still solve the clue from the last episode. And Tasha thinks that Malinche is a genius and could teach herself languages, which, I mean, okay. It could happen. Could totally happen. Could be a thing. But all of these experts later in the episode say, no, this can't be a thing. But this is the reason why they're like, no one could solve this.
And then, of course, Riley shows up. And like, They really, it's so funny too, because I don't know if you noticed this, if you watched this part, but like in the previously on, mm-hmm. they had clips from the National Treasure movies in the previously on, which is silly. But Riley arrives in style. He's on this like plane, you know, he does the I call it TV planing, where you don't get off at an airport. You get off like in on the ground, like in the hangar, you know, like you just walking on the ground immediately off the plane. And of course we can't get Nick Cage. So we have to have Riley constantly like texting.
Like they are like BFFs for the amount of, first of all, the amount of phone conversations these two men are having. Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Big, big bromance vibes on that
one.
Yeah,
they've stayed in touch apparently.
Yeah, and he calls them like 15 times in this episode.
Yeah, yeah. And so like we knew that Riley had a podcast from the from earlier. Yes. And now it turns out that this podcast is very successful, because this makes sense, right? Like when you look at the releases of the movies versus the show, it's like, okay, he wrote books, but now the thing is, again, everybody has a podcast. Hi, how are you? and so now this is so successful for him that they're turning it into a streaming show. And like, we start off very strong with the dumb dialogue for Riley, where he's like, it's, you know, podcast is for your ears and streaming is, you know, the rest of your face. Okay.
Which I gotta say though, while I was listening to it, I was like, yeah, I guess it's for the everything. Like I didn't know. Like,
eyes and your eyes and your ears.
It's a sensory experience, you know?
Yeah.
Yes, he's calling Ben to let him know that Ben's gonna be the first guest on this newly critically acclaimed best-selling streaming show that will be happening.
Yeah.
And he's in town because he's going to be attending Sandusky's wake. But you know, everyone's busy. Everyone else is busy. Charlotte is sick. Abigail has to work. Ben is Benning. So he has to be here by himself.
Yeah. This tracks. You know, we can't have Nick Cage, so we're going to make an excuse why he's not here. Because apparently they've all stayed in touch with Sandusky over the years. So.
We couldn't even get a voiceover.
We couldn't, no.
That was what was interesting to me. I was like, we couldn't even get a phone call. We couldn't get a phone call from Ben.
Would have been Riley. Fun.
Yeah, that would have been good.
But yeah, this is where, like you said, Jess is like talking to all these experts and all of them are saying like, no, there's no chance Melincha had, like, she was a traitor. She cannot have taught herself to read and write. And Jess is like getting very frustrated that no one is buying her theory.
No, people can teach. People have throughout history of all races, genders, backgrounds, all of these things that we made up to describe people, humans of all types, have taught themselves how to read and write, especially when they, you know, we didn't have, you know, formal schooling. This is, people do it because it's, you know, a resource, and having that skill is very valuable and things like that. She totally could have done this. This is a little suspicious to me.
I agree. It feels a little weird that they're so like poo-pooing this idea of people teaching themselves to read and write, when I'm like, this happens all the time. I don't understand when, like, how you're going to say, if she was, okay, let's put it this way. If she was like smart enough to be a traitor, right? And I don't mean that, like, there are unintelligent and intelligent traitors, but to like be a traitor successfully, you're essentially like a spy. Yes. And to do that successfully, you have to be at least somewhat intelligent. And so I don't understand how it's such a big leap to then go from like that to she cannot possibly have taught herself to read and write.
Yes. Yeah. It was. Yeah. But Tasha reminds us not to get discouraged, because even Beyonce didn't win Star Search. And I have to ask myself, Tasha, do you know what Star Search is?
These are not, young adults are not writing this script. There is another moment later where I was like, come on. Like, I think it was Billy talks about TikTok or something. And I was just like, No, this is written by a 60-year-old. It's just, it's so unrealistic that Tasha would know what Star Search is.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, if you're a Beyonce fan, you probably do. This is probably a fact you know, but I was like, that makes sense for me, but I don't know if that makes sense for other people.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
In the middle of all of this, Jess gets a text from Liam. My eyes are still in the back of my head from this one. I cannot.
It's
like maybe the two serpents is like some sort of kinky kiss. I'm like, first of all, if you're going to be kinky, there are other things you could say in this situation. But second of all, this is not needed in any way, shape, or form.
It's bad flirting. It's truly bad flirting. And it's so unnecessary to the plot. I think again, I think something the show lacks, and I lack it too, so I understand, is subtlety. Like, it doesn't know how to be subtle. It doesn't know, like, right? We were 2 seconds into the show, and we're like, okay, this is a love triangle. Like, we knew the situation, and I think maybe the show doesn't feel like it needs to be subtle.
I mean, I don't think National Treasure as a whole has ever felt it needs to be subtle. So I feel
it's
like
fair.
It's remaining just true to those vibes. But I think what I am finding is that it hits different in a TV show than it does in a movie. In a movie, I feel like, you know, we're moving along. Like, we only have
like this fast.
Yes. And in a TV show, yes, we only have 8 episodes, but like, you could stretch some of this out. You could give it a little bit more meat. You could. That's what I think is really missing for me when it comes to this like translation of National Treasure. I think the movies do a much better job of this than the TV show so far, and as of this podcast.
Yeah, I completely agree. When we have a movie, we don't have as much time to dedicate to being subtle and kind of slow playing things. But the show has the time. It has 8 whole episodes.
Yeah.
Not even remotely subtle. And then Liam is like, so he's getting ready for this whole week. And his mom is just like, oh, well, if you don't invite your friends, you're going to be standing alone, like talking to your grandpa's old friends or whatever. So he invites Jess. And then like, he ends up inviting everyone. This is such strange behavior.
Okay. I have been to friends' wakes, but I have known them for years.
That's what I'm saying. It's
like,
I mean,
not 2 seconds.
It's so weird to be like, oh, the person I'm interested in, let me invite them to my grandfather's wake.
And they're friends. It's like, it was one thing. Okay, fine, Jess. Yes. Fine. Okay. Like, keep me company during the thing. Okay, I get that. But like, and then also everyone.
And then Ethan's girlfriend, you're like 6 times removed from this whole situation. It's so stupid. It's literally the only way they could think to get all of the important players in one space at one time, which is why they end up doing it. But yeah, it's Tasha, of course, is very concerned, as she should be, that like, well, Sandusky was FBI. There's obviously going to be FBI there. But they're like, the reason that they decide that they have to go to the wake is because they don't trust Oren not to F it up with Liam.
Yeah, like they're going through, they're like, yeah, we don't have to go. Oh, but Oren's going to, oh, I guess we got to go.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. Say what you want. I mean, Oren's going to Oren, but also Oren handled himself pretty all right. Like, he didn't mess up the stuff at Graceland. It wasn't him that like put attention to things. So all I'm saying is he could get a little bit more credit. Like, he could probably be trusted for like 30 minutes.
Yeah, I don't know what Oren is going to do that's going to completely screw everything up.
Right? Like, it's a very, okay, very weird. We'll all go. Yeah. Like, all right, fine.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Billy is at Nordstrom.
Does look like Nordstrom.
The secret society, basically, boardroom. And the board is like really questioning her. She's like, this is personal for me because I lost my brother. And she says, like, that's good because I'm really invested. And then there's this like throwaway, but Salazar.
Okay, I have a question though. Maybe I missed it, or maybe I've just forgotten, because there's a lot of convoluted stuff in the show. Do we know who Billy's brother is? No, like, no, have we no, met him?
No.
Okay, I was like, was he the FBI agent who fell in the pit? Like, what is going on?
Oh, no? I don't think so.
I don't think that was her brother. I feel like we would have been told it was her brother.
Yeah, I just know this was, for me, I think this was the first time we heard his brother or her brother being mentioned.
Okay.
But Salazar, like, again, the mystery around Salazar is yet to be solved. We have no idea who this person is.
Yeah.
And she's like, don't worry, I have the next clue. And she plays the Elvis clue for everyone there. And they're like, oh, okay.
Well, right. Again, obviously, the thing that's working the least for me is the whole Billy storyline. Yeah. I don't understand what's going on. Again, we're halfway through the season and I still don't understand this character's motivations. Like, now we understand that she's personally invested. Like, it has something to do with her brother. Sure. But like, beyond that, could her brother, okay, maybe this is stupid, could her brother be Liam's dad? He died looking for clues.
He did looking for clues on this particular situation. So that's Liam's aunt, which could explain, ooh, Jessica, could not be like, it's not dumb.
Look at that, detective baby.
Yeah, I mean, there's something there, I think. What happens next is there's a garage fight, a good old-fashioned garage fight. Charlie, who I had no idea who this person was, but Charlie really needed to get the relics.
It really felt, by the way they played this, that we were supposed to know who Charlie was.
Yeah.
And it's really strange because it's just like Billy. It's like, and again, so much about this show is so very like tropey, and it's like they like took little bits from every movie they've seen and like a heist movie and like smashed it into a show where they're in a parking garage, because of course they are. Mm-hmm. And like Billy and the other person she has left in her entourage, like come upon these two guys who just come out and like cross their arms like, and then it's, and then Billy's like, I know you're there, Charlie. And out comes this dude who I'm like, I don't understand who you are, but apparently he wants the relic because he wants to sell it.
Yes.
Where we know Billy wants it because her brother was involved in everything or something.
But then I have to ask, like, what are you going to do with it, Billy? Like, what are you going to do with it after you get it? You're going to like fulfill your personal quest, and then what? Like, are you just going to give it to Charlie anyway so that he can sell it? You know what I mean? Like,
it doesn't make any sense.
I don't really know. But she does have like a Terminator of a friend who's like fighting this fight. Like, Billy has no skin in this game. Like, she's
Billy's just like, she has it. I don't need to fight anyone.
Let me just stand there. But she does say to Charlie before she leaves, like, oh, it looks like you're going to have a boating accident the board wants you to have. So I don't know what was happening there. Is she going to tell the board?
Again, this is very, very confusing. Yeah, didn't understand what was going on here. Didn't particularly care that much. Like,
yeah,
the stuff I'm interested in is not anything to do with Billy.
Yeah. She, though, is very interested in everyone else because she is spying on everyone, including people going to the wake. The wake starts off and Jess is like, I think we can go to the clear room. Tasha advises her against this of like, you know, hey, it's a wake. Like, maybe not.
Yeah.
But Liam sees Jess. Sorry. I'm going to laugh at like every single one of these.
Because it's so cheesy, Marissa. Like, first of all, we have Tasha and Oren are with Jess. And as soon as Liam walks up, Tasha's like, oh my gosh, chocolate covered strawberries. Oh. Let's go. And I'm just like, you could have been so much more subtle than that, Tasha. But whatever. It is so over the top. Again. Liam and Jess have known each other for like literal days, like not that long. And he's just like, oh, I'm doing so much better now that you're here. And they start commiserating. It's so over the top. They start commiserating on like the annoying things people say to you when you lose someone. And this like was kind of silly and true, where you get like the, oh, they're in a better place, or at least they're not suffering, or time heals all wounds, like on and on and on and on about all the very like cliche things people say to you when you lose someone and how they're very tired of hearing those things, right? Like the reason Jess didn't want to go to the wake was because it brought up memories of her mother's wake, which I wish they had explored that more, because it felt like as soon as she got to the wake, everything was fine. She was good.
Well, because Liam was there, Jess.
Yeah, and he's so dreamy.
So dreamy. What I did appreciate about like that little wake chat is I always, whenever I'm at one of these events, is like everyone thinks it's about the person who has deceased. And so they'll say things like, that person's no longer suffering anymore, things like that. But I'm here, I am suffering. Like, I'm the person suffering. So I enjoyed that little kind of conversation that reminded us of that. I was like, oh, here's a little bit of something.
It did feel more modern, right? Yeah. It definitely felt more modern of like, this is how young people in this world view these types of things, where it's not comforting to hear those things most of the time. I shouldn't speak for everyone. I know that wouldn't comfort me.
Yeah.
Maybe some people would find it helpful. Not for me. I think like that makes you kind of feel worse. Like, oh, they're in a better place. It's like, no, they're not. Like, they should be here with me. Like, I'm suffering. I don't, you know, it's like you said, most of those types of funeral processions, right? Funerals, wakes, memorials, those types of things, they're more about the people who are left behind, less so than the person who is gone. Even though you are remembering them and like honoring their memory, it's more for like most people think, and this isn't true for everyone, but like gathering and talking about that person will help aid you in your grief. Mm-hmm. Certainly true for some people, not for all. Some people would rather like grieve privately. But yeah, I thought that was at least that felt like a more modern conversation.
Yeah, I was like, this is like a trauma-informed discussion. Like we are like really kind of, you know, fleshing out grief for the brief 30 seconds that we had it, but it was, you know, there were more dimensions, there was more nuance in that conversation than we've had in others. So I gave them a golf clap on that one.
Yeah.
And one of the things that comes up is, you know, just as, you know, people always say that hope or that time heals all wounds. And she's like, I hope that one's true. Like, again, getting back to like, we'll take this conversation about grief, turn it into flirting again. Liam's like, yeah,
they're like very close together when they're having this conversation. Again, it's very like, it's so ham-fisted. It's not subtle at all of like, we are the same. And it's just, I don't know that that's true. Not diminishing Liam's loss in any way, but I don't think all grief is identical. And I think like, again, maybe they do feel like they're the same, but I feel like it's a bit different to have Jess's mom, who seemed to have been sick for a while, pass away, and someone she is like, right, her mom was like a single parent and everything, versus Liam's estranged grandfather, you know, passing away. It just feels a little different. I don't know. Maybe that's just me speaking out of turn, but it really doesn't feel identical. If Liam was close to his grandfather, I feel like that's a little different, but it felt like he always resented his grandfather for like his father's passing. So
yeah, I think there's a lot of heightened emotions that are getting confused with each other between these two.
Yes.
Or at least that's what I'm projecting onto the situation, onto this very simple love triangle.
Exactly. Situation. We're just expecting, here's what it is. This is a like teen romance mystery with romance being predominant, right, over the mystery.
Yes.
And we're wanting it or expecting it or wishing it was something more than what it is. But I can't help but like joke about it because it is very over the top and ridiculous.
It is. Speaking of over top and ridiculous, cue Oren, who is freaking out because Riley is at the wake and he's like, I have to go home. I have to get my books for him to autograph. And this is where Tasha's like, oh, maybe it's okay. Maybe it's okay if we bring up the clue because, you know, Riley's here and he wasn't here before and, you know, he's not retired.
Yeah. She's just like, oh, we should ask him. Come on. We should ask. Yeah. And I just think this is so funny. And this makes sense, I guess, where like, they weren't there, so they don't know. They don't have a firsthand account of like, yeah, Ben was like the main one pulling the bait, right? Not Riley. Riley actually hindered a lot of performances most of the time. And so it's very funny that they're like, especially Oren is like so starstruck by Riley being there. Is so silly to me. But I mean, I don't know, like podcasts can be very large, right? Like there are people who, beyond just celebrities who do podcasts, there are podcasters who have become celebrities as a result of their, like, I'm thinking like podcasts like My Favorite Murder, right, where they do live shows and they're like, so many people show up to them and they're recognizable people. And so it's possible that this is the case for Riley. It's a bit silly, right? Like,
well, it's just like, of all people, it's Oren, like, exactly, who has the books, who wants to, I totally, Oren for like fanboying here totally makes sense, but then like wanting like to get books and all of that, I was like, interesting.
Yeah.
But we also find out, I did like how Riley kind of addresses like what he's been working on for the past 15 years or so.
Yes.
Which was a good way to kind of address the time between the movies and now.
Yes.
And they present the clue to him and Riley's all over it.
he's like, oh, twin, that must mean two, which is more than one. It's like, oh, my, I knew this was going to happen too, that he was going to flail around. Like there was just no way he would know what this was referring to. I also feel like, okay, not for nothing, but they're not doing him any favors either because they're giving him no context.
Yeah.
They're not giving him like the background on any of this. They're just like, hey, here's a weird riddle. Solve it.
Yeah, like you don't know what could be, it could be referring to 800 number of things. And he's an anagram guy, so he could be trying to anagram the heck out of that thing.
Exactly.
Like, it doesn't, they didn't do him very much service. You're correct. Yeah. But he gets saved by Agent Hendrix, who is also at the wake and kind of takes him away from that.
Yeah.
Oren does make it back to Ethan's to get the books, and lo and behold.
Yeah, they weren't this. Okay. I also, maybe I'm stupid. I didn't really understand the purpose of this, of like, Ethan seemed to have lied about going golfing just so like he could like have sex with his girlfriend.
Yep. I think, I guess.
But why do we care?
It was the after, it was like the 19th green.
Oh.
Or something.
Oh, the 19th hole. Oh. Working on that backstroke. Yeah, I suppose. I mean, I don't, again, I don't, it, maybe, I don't know. Maybe it's just me. It just felt like, why is this, why does this matter? Like, why,
yeah.
Who cares that he lied about this?
I don't know. And he comes out like all shamey about it. Like,
yeah,
and then,
like he's like, doing the walk of shame, but it's like, bro, you live here. You're allowed to have sex with your girlfriend in your own, you know, domicile.
Well, I wonder if like Nina's like never over and like Oren.
But
Oren,
correct me if I'm wrong, Oren literally just moved in with Ethan. So yes. Like Ethan, this is Ethan's place, really.
It's what, like, first of all, that's a nice place,
it's
Ethan.
Massive. As the other, all as every place is here. But yeah, okay, this was the weirdest part of everything. Was they're like, oh my god, Riley, we want to meet him. Let's crash a wake.
I mean, no.
What are we doing here? Like, literally. You could tell me my favorite celebrity is going to be at someone else's wake, and I would be like, oh, that's a little weird. Like, I'm a little uncomfy with that. No thanks.
I feel uncomfortable enough when it's like I'm so many degrees removed from the person who deceased, who died, yes, that I'm like, I don't know if I should really be here.
Nina's shirt certainly shouldn't be going to this. Yeah, I mean, Ethan shouldn't either, but certainly not Nina.
Yeah. Yeah. Seriously, Nina. Come on.
I don't understand this.
Meanwhile, back at the wake, Agent Ross is talking with the nurse who's taking care of Sandusky before he died, and kind of learns that Sandusky was estranged from everyone. And she's like, oh, that's interesting. Let me go talk to you. Jane and Jen, who came to visit me the other day, and they kind of like say, you know, it was Liam's grandpa that brought us together. That's why we're here. Like, that's how we know Liam. And we found our kidnapped friend. It's cool. Everything's cool. Cool, cool, cool. And Liam comes to help out and says, you know, didn't you know my grandpa's crazy? I just got to say, not a big fan of dementia being linked to crazy. I'm just going to say that.
Nope, like, not a fan of that at all. I think the show is not... Again, I will say this feels very old school, mm-hmm, like how they're referencing these types of like, these are mental health struggles. Mm-hmm. This is like a serious disease that really shouldn't be linked to someone having mental health struggles. Like this is something very, very serious. I totally agree with you. It rubbed me very much the wrong way. When everyone is like, oh, he was just a kooky old guy losing his mind. And it's like, actually, no, he had a disease that affects his brain. And it's not really nice of you to say he was crazy. And also, I don't like the word crazy. Yeah. So I agree with you. And again, for something like before where it felt like more modern conversation, this feels very, very old, like and outdated.
Yeah, very much so. I just, and it's interesting because they're talking about like, dementia caused a lot of pain for his family too, that they're not dealing with. Like this could be fleshed out into a lot more than just writing it off as quote unquote crazy, which is not a good word to use in any context.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, Agent Ross has this conversation, but then she sees Hendrix and she runs. I was very like taken aback that she was like, oh, I gotta go. Like, I gotta run. I'm like, you see this guy at the office all the time? Like, what is
again,
happening here?
Maybe she thought like, oh, he's gonna think like, see it suspicious that I'm here. But I'm like, okay, but you're FBI. He was FBI. You literally just have to say you're paying your respects. That's all you have to do.
That's it. But she runs away and just, as is tradition on this show, breaks into the house.
People love breaking into this guy's house. Favorite pastime. She's like skulking around.
Everywhere.
I love that. Okay. I don't know about everybody, right? Was it weird to you that Agent Ross just had like a plant identifier app on her phone automatically?
I mean, okay.
I feel like it has to download
plants
this.
It's like a hobby, right? Like people love plants.
I own plants. I don't have this app.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that's like in the FBI kit that you like download on your phone.
They're like, you need this. You need this app because it will tell you. I feel like this is the job for like the medical investigator, like the autopsy person. It was so strange to me, especially because not for nothing. I've looked into plant apps because I wanted an app. I have a lot of plants now. I've gotten into plants last year. I wanted an app that was going to help me like track when I needed to water plant, because every plant has different needs and like some need to be misted, some need to be watered. It's easier. Some are better to water from the bottom, blah, 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 blah. A lot of them are paid subscriptions. Like you cannot just, especially ones like this, in my opinion, where you have the like, you hold the phone and there's like a camera and it identifies what plant it is. I feel like that would be a paid subscription. So let's go with your theory of the FBI requires this on every phone and pays for it, because that makes more sense to me than, I don't want to break my brain with this.
It's required. You have to have it because you never know when you're going to break into someone's house and be looking for medications so that you can take it back to your ME doctor friend. And then you just happen to find a poisonous berry.
First one you find, poisonous plant.
That's it.
Done.
She bags it up too. Like she was prepared. She had everything that she needed, bags it up, sees Agent Hendricks on the way out. And he's all like, I support you. Like, always listen to civilian reports. And I'm like,
even more sus of him now.
Yeah.
I'm even more sus of him than I was before.
Yeah.
You're on my list, Adrian Hendricks. I got you. I got your number.
Well, the party is just about to begin because Oren, Ethan, and Nina have all arrived at the wake. Everybody's here now. And Ethan does this weird, like, he sees the guy who was following them at Graceland. And so he takes it on him. It's like some sort of machismo thing was happening with him because he was like, I gotta go. Oh, you guys go first. I gotta go talk to this guy. And he like just like walks up and like, I don't know. It was like trying to spook him, but I guess it works because the guy drove away. This is apparently one of Billy's goons, but I just thought it was really interesting. It's like, okay, Ethan.
Yeah. It's like, oh my God, it was that guy. It was that guy that you thought that was following us. It's like, why would you assume that Billy would stop following you? At this point, like you're on her list. Like, I don't understand why it would be like, suddenly she's just going to leave us alone.
Riley also breaking into the house at this point. And I thought this was interesting. He was going to text Ben to reach out for help with this clue, but he's like, no, I can do it. I can put my big boy clue finding pants on and I can do it. And he finds the clue room, like just boop, boop, because it was one of Riley's books in French on the bookshelf. And so he had to go investigate. And that's how he finds the clue room.
Okay. People be finding clue rooms way too easily in this show. Everyone's like, ooh, what's this book? Click, 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 we're in. Like, I'm sorry.
Do we know?
Sandusky needed to make this more difficult for people to break into.
Is it the same book every time? Like, I'm trying to find out if it's multiple different books or I'm just like.
I truly don't know. But I feel like it should be like, you have to pull this book out 1 inch, push this book in 2 inches. Like, you need to make it more difficult for people.
Considering what they had to go through to get out of the clue room.
It's way easy to get in, real hard to get out.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make a whole ton of sense to me. Riley is like, oh, you know what? Let me just peek on in here where I don't belong.
Yeah. And Jess, upon hearing, that they were being followed, she's like, she goes, I need to warn Liam, and runs in and then finds Riley in the clue room.
Yeah, she thinks that Liam will be like hiding in the clue room because he needed like a moment to himself. He didn't want his mom to like call on him to do a eulogy. And so, I mean, I understand this makes sense for me that this would be the place that she would go looking for him. But yeah, she finds Riley there and like, oh my God, Riley just, Riley just Rileying all over this clue room. First of all, Riley, I understand that you're like, oh my gosh, these are like the cute little spectacles that I wore in one of the movies. It says don't touch and you don't touch, sir. Like, this is not show and tell. Why are you touching the things?
Oh, as someone who used to work in a museum, you really do want to abide by those don't touch rules.
That's what I'm saying. Like, this is okay. He knows Sandusky. He knows this guy. He knows this guy was FBI. He knows that he had to push a whole bunch of books in and out to get into this room. Why would he not think that there are going to be some little trip wires and stuff in here? It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But you know what? He has grabby hands.
Yeah, it's been 15 years, okay? Like, since he's been out in the field.
Yes.
He doesn't know. He can't help himself.
Ridiculous. So, yeah, they get locked in because we see, like, lasers all of the sudden. Like,
I thought it was going to be fine. Just, okay, lasers. I get it. You're locked in. You're going to have to find your way out. When they were, like, the oxygen levels are dropping, I was like, holy crap, Sandusky. Like,
is this murder? I don't know the rules, especially they probably vary from state to state. I don't know the rules on, like, if someone breaks into your home and is, like, in your clue room, if you're allowed to just deplete the oxygen until they die. Like, I don't know if you would get arrested for that.
I feel like the clue room rules do vary by jurisdiction.
Yeah, I feel like at least it's manslaughter.
Yeah, for sure.
Can you kill two people? Like, still, that's like, you know. I know he wasn't supposed to, he has grabby hands and he wasn't supposed to touch his spectacles, but does he deserve to die for it?
No, just detain him is fine enough. And then, of course, because they're losing oxygen and are trapped in the stream, they need a code. And I just was like, another code? We need another code? This is like like every episode, there's a code. That's all, like.
Yeah, this is.
Many codes.
It's getting out of hand. It's truly getting out of hand, how many codes they need to have to be able to get out of here. And
there's like this code. There was the Elvis code. There was the escape room code. It's like, if Jess does not get a job at the FBI for the number, like, she should be keeping track of the number of codes that she has. Like,
FBI board she had up in the apartment. Yes, with all the, strings and stuff.
Yeah.
She needs to get herself a cork board or a whiteboard. But yeah, so then we have the nurse is like hanging out on the terrace, which is where Liam is. And he's like, and we get we all knew this part was coming, right? Where we get the nurse being like, oh, your grandfather loved to come out here and like sneak some whiskey. And okay, Liam is not a bad singer. I'm going to start by saying that. Okay. Not a bad musician, not all a bad right. singer.
All right.
But the fact that he says, oh, the only thing that your grandfather smiled to was your music. I'm like, really now?
First of all, we know that's a lie because when Jess figured out the clue, he smiled. So,
he did smile. Lies, nurse. Lies.
Lies. But very kind thing to say to a grandson at this time in his grief. I could see it, you know, if that's where he was going from. While he is not a bad singer, I will say... his songs could be better.
The songs are not good. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I think the guy himself is not a bad singer. I assume it's the actor who's singing.
Yeah, I think so.
The songs are not good. Okay, let's put it this way. The songs are about, the lyrics are about as good as the dialogue in this show, which is to say not great.
I mean, in one episode, it was la, 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 la.
And
I was
like,
and this one, Liam, after Hendrix eulogizes Sandusky by like saying he reminded me to never ignore a civilian report, no matter how ridiculous it might sound, being referencing the one time he did ignore a civilian report being about the Declaration of Independence being stolen, which does sound a little ridiculous before that movie, but after the movie, I'm pretty sure. It's ridiculous anymore. But then Liam's like, okay, I'm gonna come up. He wasn't expected to, but because grandpa's music made me smile, I'm gonna sing the song I Missed That Van.
Song was such crap. Oh my gosh, it's like all about his dad and like, oh, how he misses him, and his mom is like, oh my gosh, so beautiful. That was about your dad, wasn't
it? She like rushes up to him and was like, I was so wrong about like your talent and like all of these things.
Bars loss is
Nashville's gain and like all this. And I was like, wow, wow.
Like, did you hear the same song I did?
Like, okay, Ma. All right.
It's a bit concerning. Yeah.
Back in the clue room, the levels are dropping. Riley knows that like 85% of codes are people's birthday. So if you have a code device, people, maybe not your birthday.
Also, my birthday is August 10th, so one day away from Mr. Sandusky. Not ooh. Obviously, they're not the same year, but I was pretty impressed. He's a Leo. Look at that.
Leo. Yeah, just like you.
Love to see it. But yeah, we should all know that an FBI agent with a clue room is not going to set the passcode as his birthday.
Yeah, yeah. Were you surprised to learn that Riley hates escape rooms during this part of our episode?
No. Riley seems like he would just suck at clue rooms.
He really would. I think so.
At like escape rooms. Yeah, he's terrible. And so, yeah, they're like, oh, maybe he hid the passcode because of the dementia. And so then like Jess gets it in her head. Oh, it's FBI fidelity, bravery, and integrity.
And this is where like Riley turns to him and says, you remind me of an old friend of mine. And I was like Sandusky? Like who are we talking about?
Oh, see, I felt like it was insanely overt, especially later when he's just like, oh, you think just like Ben. And Ben was always
sure.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
So it
yeah,
felt very much yes. like, yes. oh my gosh, really? I'm like, she doesn't remind me anything of Nicolas Cage, but okay, sure.
Yeah, so of course, Jess's mind goes to work. It's like, fidelity also means loyal. What's loyal? Dogs. Here's a dog statue. Oh, there's a 74 at the bottom of the statue. So that must be the first set of numbers in the clue.
Again, we get the beautiful mind stuff with like the highlighting of the things. It's all very silly. And so they like, bravery is like the seven flag stripes on the U.S. flag, but that's wrong. This is when Tasha notices like, where has Jess been? She's been gone for a while and Liam is back. So she should be back by now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, I think she's in the bathroom for like 5 minutes, but okay. And so
no
she
used the bathroom. No.
Yeah, she's in the clue room and she all of a sudden hears something and she starts clicking books around. And I'm like, you see how easy it is to get in this clue room?
But she can't. Well, she would have been able to get in
yeah, if they weren't locked down in there.
That's true.
Which also feels like it should be there should be like an override for that fairly easily, because what if like literally anyone in your family gets stuck in there? Like you don't want them to die.
Yes. I mean,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Back out on the lawn, Liam's finished his song, but then they've realized that Jess is missing and it's like calling the Avengers or something, because Liam and Ethan like hop into action or like, we have to go save Jess.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, back in the room, they figure out bravery is connected to Jack Sandusky's Silver Star, because that is a brave thing to earn. There are 11 points on the star, so they solve the second one. Meanwhile, outside, Liam is like, I know there's a watch. First of all, how did he learn so much about this house that he just got and all of this stuff? And even though he didn't talk to his grandpa, but okay, he knows there's a watch. But what if the watch is on his grandpa in the casket?
It's like, if you knew there was a watch, why would you not take that off of him before they buried him? That doesn't make a ton of sense.
Yeah.
But then like I really enjoyed the more the oxygen levels were going down and Jess and Riley are like falling to the ground and it's so dramatic.
It was very
I mean, I'm not a doctor. I don't know exactly what happens when you're like don't have enough oxygen, but I did enjoy the dramatics of it all.
It was very dramatic. Riley was talking about how, you know, how Jess thinks, as you were mentioning earlier, Jess, you know, that in back in one of the movies, I think it was the first one, about Charlotte, he thought that Charlotte was a person, but Ben knew it was a ship. Yeah. And then this is like all that Jess needs to like turn her mind to say, oh, there were other interpreters than Malinche that were forced to translate for coloners. This has to be Sacagawea. So,
like, I cannot. Okay. Tell me.
I'm right here. I'm here.
I'm trying to like the show. I'm really doing my best to like give it the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
Okay. When you don't have enough oxygen getting to your brain, when you're like literally dying from lack of oxygen, I don't understand how your brain gets stronger and you can like think clearly. And also like she didn't realize this until right this second that it's Sacagawea. And again, these young adults are maybe it's just that they're like, I'm jealous and they're just like so much smarter than me, but they just feel like so unrealistically intelligent, especially for their age group, unless they're like, I mean, young adults can be obsessed with history. That's totally cool. It's just like so far-fetched to me that she's like almost dying from lack of oxygen and she's just like Sacagawea and then like immediately stands up.
Yeah. It was interesting interesting because this totally could have happened after they got out of the room. Like, that would make more sense than in the middle of this, like, body panic situation. Like, they could, like, let's get out of the clue room and then put it all together. But she figures it out there. And then her brain goes even more. She's like, integrity doesn't just mean honesty and virtue. It can mean whole. Okay, let me look at this don't tread on me snake. And then put the snake together. And then it's an anagram. And Riley's good at these. So they come up with the 81 by the end of it all. Because 81 is what Jess came up with, even though Riley came up with 180.
And I don't know. I feel like it's a mistake to have a clue that can be two different answers.
Agreed.
Because like I don't because Riley it's no answer is like more or right or more or less wrong than the other. Like they're both correct, and so it feels like a mistake that was what he did.
I wonder if both would have been accepted, or I mean they had like three other tries left to go in the clue thing. So they could have tried one,
right? It feels like a bit of an oversight.
But we needed to know that Jess equals Ben.
Exactly. That is why. That's exactly why they did it. Again, very, very silly. But they really are like trying to get Nicolas Cage infused into the show somehow.
Yes.
That's how they're going to do it.
Yes. So they get out, and then I don't know. Like, well, first of all, one thing I did want to mention before we get to what happens when they get out of the room, while Liam was looking for the watch, he did find a package that was from the evil Latin group that Billy's a part of in the pile of mail. So there's some connection, something that I'm sure will be explained next episode. But that was one thing that stood out to me from that. But they get out and everyone is just sitting there and they're like all sad. I was like, are you not happy that your friends are alive? Like, I don't understand. They're just sitting there. They're all sad and just like, well, I solved the clue.
I'm like, get her an oxygen mask. Like, what is happening?
How she solved the clue? She talks new things we hadn't even heard yet. She was like, Newfoundland is not three words. It's one word. A Newfoundland dog.
And I'm like, first of all, Jess, if you're so smart about it, it's Newfoundland, not Newfoundland. It did hurt my brain a little bit. Like, I love dogs. Newfies are some of the cutest dogs that have ever existed. It's a Newfoundland dog, Lewis and Clark. It was Sacagawea. She hid a clue in her journals, like so-and-so loved Newfoundland dogs. And that's why they knew that they would keep it. It was like, wait, what? Like, how did we get here? What is this clue she's even talking about?
Like, she just had enough from like, it's Sacagawea. Like she could have just said like, it's Sacagawea. But then they were like, fair weather, Meriwether Lewis was on, it's Lewis and Lewis and Clark. And then. Yeah. Like he was governor of Louisiana. I did like, I don't know how we got there, but I did like that we did get to talk about York, who was an enslaved person that traveled with Lewis and Clark throughout this entire exposition. I don't know how we got there from Bend is York. Is the person's name York Bend?
I truly don't know.
I don't know how we got there, but I like that we got like history that we don't normally get. That was cool. I liked that mention, but I don't know how we got there.
For me, it's very, it's okay. The show makes me feel both like I'm really dumb for not following the clues, but also they're like, oh, you must be really stupid that we have to make everything else so obvious.
Well, yeah, it's like, it is rough because there's just, and I think I wouldn't pick up on it as much in a movie, but like, because we're here and I mean, it's also part of the nature in terms of how we're experiencing the show because we're podcasting about it. But at the same time, you have a podcaster on the show, you know, you should know how this is going to go.
It's just a little cheesy at times. It feels like we're making like leaps and jumps in these clues when like where I'm like, I'm not a history buff, I wouldn't say, but I'm just like struggling to keep up with how this clue connects to this clue, and also how you're so knowledgeable about all this stuff. Like,
that's what it, I mean, I have a degree in history and it does not work. My brain does not work like this. Like, I don't know how. I don't remember any, like, I had to remember that Meriwether Lewis was the same Lewis and Clark. Like, it was like, yeah, you know, like, it's, but again, I'm not, you know, podcasting nor working for the National Archives nor any of that about history as much as Riley is. So he's able to pull these things, or just, but Jess and these kids, they're working on an American education system view of history. Like, I don't really know how they're pulling all of this stuff out of their heads. So I will have to find out though, because it will bother my brain how I got from Bend. Like, because Bend was part of the clue to Bend is York. So I'll have to figure that out. But then York also put clues in journals, and he was making his way back to Tennessee. He died in Tennessee, which is where Elvis's grandma's from. So we have to tie it all together. And Riley, of course, knows all of this because he has a podcast. I just want to say that's not how podcasting works. Like,
yes.
I pretty much have forgotten what I've already podcasted about.
Yeah, it's it is so funny. No, it's very funny when he's just like, I know because I made a podcast. And I'm like, that is not how podcasting works.
It's not my experience with them, at least. Yeah, I'm like, oh, if you want, I don't even remember inventing Anna, like what it was about. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
But they all remember, well, Oren remembers specifically because he went on a field trip to the governor's mansion, that this journal is on display there because Meriwether Lewis was the governor of Louisiana. I'm assuming that's where we're headed next to try and find this journal.
Yeah.
Well, this episode cannot end without a kiss under the tree, because Liam has really discovered and really taken to heart that there is no greater treasure than lost time. That doesn't even make sense.
None of this.
I'm not wasting time anymore. I'm going to kiss you. Okay.
Listen, I'm trying to like just stop. I you know what I'm trying to do?
Tell
I'm
me.
Trying to just be like, you know what? Just enjoy the show. Just don't overthink it. You know?
I know.
But then they do stuff like this. Where, okay, this entire scene made me question whether or not I'm just a very old person, because he's just like, oh, there's no greater treasure than lost time, and just full on kisses Jess, and like a prolonged makeout scene where like you're at your grandfather's wake, and this is the moment to just mac on this girl, and then we have Ethan seeing this whole thing. Nina comes up and she's just like, oh, she's obviously into bad boys. Look at him. He's a musician. He's such a bad boy. And then, any human being, anybody, any person in the entire world would see the look on Ethan's face and be like, oh, he's obviously very jealous, right? Like any human being would be like, wow, that guy is a jealous guy.
Except for
Nina, who's like, oh, I'm into good guys. And they start making out. Okay, it's bad enough that the grandson of the deceased is making out of his wake. You have some rando girl who's connected to essentially no one making out of a stranger's wake. And I'm just like, Nina, girl, I get it. He's cute. Just like take it in the car. Like bring it somewhere else. Not at the wake. What is happening? And then Oren's like, let me manage to kiss Tasha because everybody else is making out.
It was like make out dominoes. It was really bad.
I think this scene broke my brain, because I do you ever feel like this, Marissa, where you're watching a show and you're like, am I just too old to get it? Am I just too old to understand? Like, okay, I just feel like I've never been that kind of person who's very like mushy gushy, like, you know, whatever. I logic is where my brain usually, you know, I'm very much thoughts, not feelings, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But like, I was like, I've never ever been at a wake and been like, I cannot stop myself. I need to make out with you right now.
Here's the thing. Maybe you shouldn't have been at the wake.
You don't belong here. You simply do not belong here. And I don't understand what's happening.
I will say this though. Like, grief. This is the thing. It doesn't add up for Nina because she wasn't like directly affected by this loss. But I will say grief can make you do some things.
Like,
fair enough.
If I kind of get it from Liam's perspective, even though it's really crappy.
No, Liam is the only one who you can like kind of excuse for it. And I guess Jess, because if he's going to make the move, like, why not? But it is a little, to me, the strangest one is Nina.
Yes.
Like, by far. Nina and Ethan, by far the weirdest.
Yeah. And then the whole good boy, bad boy, first of all, that's a whole thing we just need to, that also feels dated in this conversation because, boy, like, people are people. Like, let's not assign qualities. Not all musicians are bad boys.
Yeah.
Like, that was her reasoning.
So silly too. Like, I don't know. Okay. Maybe you tell me, Liam doesn't exactly strike me as a bad boy.
No.
Like, he doesn't, like, it's not like inherently he looks like a bad boy to me.
Yeah.
Like, where's his leather jacket? Like, that's what a bad boy needs. Where's his motorcycle? Like where's his cigarette? Right. Like,
are not inviting their friends to their grandpa's wake. That's not happening.
Yeah, no. It was very silly. It was very, why this, why now? They're like, we have a makeout quota. We have to hit it. Okay, bing, bang, boom.
It's in the contract.
Makeouts happening. Yeah. All very strange. Yeah, just very weird.
Yeah. Well, with the wake being over, Riley's headed back to, I'm assuming, DC or somewhere. He can't leave, though, without calling Ben because they're attached to the hip. I thought that was so cute. It was just like, I gotta call my buddy Ben.
Very funny.
But then right away, Riley turns around and calls Jess at this point and lets Jess know that someone knows about your clue, the Elvis clue, because Ben's mom, Emily Gakes, who just so happens to also be a Mesoamerican expert, was questioned about this clue this morning with, like, having the Elvis recording. I was like, whoa. I mean, I guess one thing, even though everything is over the top, is, like, it does show you how connected everything can be. Like, we are not as separate from each other as we think we are if this can all happen, even if it's outlandish.
Yeah, and I think it tracks that, like, it's right after the makeout with Liam. Like, it makes sense as to, like, why they did the makeout here so that they can have Jess learn this information and then be like, oh my gosh, the only other person who had that recording was Liam. And of course, she's going to naturally be suspicious of him at that moment. And so I am intrigued to see, now that we've had the makeout moment, right? Mm-hmm. Like, okay, now she doesn't trust him, seemingly. So it'll be interesting to see where we go from here, at least.
Do you think Jess is also going to be an adept spy and keep up the interest in Liam to be close to him? Like, keep your enemies closer?
Absolutely not. No, I don't think she has that in her. I think immediately she is going to be very suspicious of him and give up her cards and be like, did you send that recording? I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. I don't know. I think she'll try to distance, but also can see, like, she's going to want to know. I don't think she's going to straight out ask him. I think she's going to try to, like, finagle her way into knowing.
It's hard because, right, she wants to be an FBI agent and you have to be sleuthy, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's not a word, but sure. But at the same time, I think she's not going to be able to help herself because she is also someone who values information. And I don't know that she can go on without knowing who is the person who revealed the Elvis music. And if it's Liam, I think she just, like, inherently needs to know that.
100% she's telling Tasha. That much I know.
Like, she already did that. She already did it. Yeah. 100%. That's who she's saying to. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I think there will be some distrust between her and Ethan still, even though he bought cupcakes, but
of course there will be a kiss.
Ugh. Well, that wraps up episode 4. We are at the midway point. So things should be, I don't know how they could be speeding up more than they have already tried to speed things up, but we are coming towards the back end of our adventure here on this podcast with the show. Thank you so much for joining us. And if you'd like to hear other things that we are working on, Jess, where can people find you and listen to non-treasure related podcasts?
Yeah, just, I mean, like,
they're treasures of podcasts.
Just like last week, we finished up season four of Community Building, thankfully. So we're heading into season five in the new year. And then Mythic Quest, we are finishing up our coverage, only a few weeks left of Mythic Quest season three. So go check out those things. And then, of course, Shit 90 Shows Taught Me, Dawson's Creek, and some other bonus content in the works. So you could find me on Twitter at TheJessStarling if you want to give me a little follow.
Oh, that's so nice. As for me, I am here on this here podcast, and then I just wrapped up Wednesday. If you binged that over the holidays, we got a whole slew of podcasts waiting there for you, and they are also in their own feeds. You can find them at like Wednesday. Just search Wednesday and Post Your Recaps. You'll be fine there. And then I do have some other things in the works, but they will be announced shortly, so you can always find out what's new with me on Twitter at MarsBars, MarsBars. And I don't know, do we have anything better in terms of sign-offs here?
Justin Bartha sounds. Like, just constant Justin Bartha sounds. So Bartha, like that.
Bartha sounds out.